Have a seat. Well, my name's Sim Jemmett. I work as an apprentice here at Emmanuel Church, and it's been my privilege to have been around all this week at the Summer Hero Academy. And one of the things that we did each day at the Hero Academy was to open up this book and to spend just a few minutes each day looking at a particular book of the Bible, Mark's Gospel. And we thought a little bit each day about the character who is central to Mark's Gospel, the person Jesus. And we thought a little bit about what he has to say to us as superhero trainees. And if you weren't able to make it along this week to the Hero Academy, you need not despair. I know you probably have been despairing at not being there, but you can stop now because we now have the chance to catch up on everything that you maybe missed by not being at the Hero Academy this week by looking briefly together at just one verse from Mark's Gospel now. And if you were there and you've forgotten everything we did, then hopefully this will be a good reminder for you as well. And so the verse we're going to look at is Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. So if you want to grab a Bible that should be under your chair or around you somewhere, and turn up Mark chapter 10 verse 45, which is on page 715, 715 in the church Bibles. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, Mark chapter 10 verse 45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." On Wednesday, on the first day of the Hero Academy, we saw acted out for us the opening scene of Mark's book, Mark's Gospel. I wonder if anyone can remember what happens in that scene. We saw Jesus, the central character, turn up, and he goes around the place finding people. And does anyone remember? We had a boat out here, and Jesus found some guys in a boat. And can anyone who was there remember and tell me, just shout out, what did Jesus say to the guys in the boat? Anyone remember? What did he shout out? Just shout it out nice and loud. What was that? I heard something at the back there. Anyone remember what he shouted? Do you remember the guys in the boat? There was a guy with a big beard especially. And Jesus shouted something to them. Oh, it's a good job we've got a reminder, isn't it? He shouted to them, "Follow me." And he found lots of different people, and he said to them, "Follow me." And what did they do? They followed him. Just like that. We saw that Jesus went around finding these people and saying, "Follow me." And they just dropped everything and followed him. Why would they do that? Well, I think the guys in the story in the first opening scene of Mark's Gospel, they recognized who this verse that we just read together says that Jesus is. Did you notice that the name that Jesus gives himself in this verse, how Jesus refers to himself? Look back at Mark 10, 45. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. What does that mean? Sounds like a kind of weird name to give yourself, doesn't it? Well, the Son of Man is a name that Jesus used for himself a lot. And it's a name that maybe doesn't mean a lot to you and I, but to Jesus' original hearers, it meant a lot. It's a bit like if Jesus showed up and he said to us, "I'm the ultimate superhero." We'd know something of what he meant, because we know about superheroes. But back then, they didn't know about superheroes. Batman and Superman and Spider-Man weren't around yet. But this character, the Son of Man, Jesus' original hearers, they knew this character. They knew this character from the Old Testament. So the first half of the Bible, written a long time before Jesus, there's a character in the Old Testament called the Son of Man. And the writers of the Old Testament, they wrote about this man, the Son of Man, And they looked forward to his coming, and they wrote about what he would be like and what he'd do. And they said that he would come, and he would come with all of God's authority and power, and he would rule the world for him, for God. He was going to be a lot like a real-life superhero. He'd be God's superhero, come from God to his world. And then when Jesus shows up, we saw that Jesus says, "That's me. I'm here. The Son of Man. I'm here." I suppose a lot of people today are happy to think of Jesus as a great religious teacher, a charismatic leader. But you see how different that is from what Jesus is claiming about himself here. The problem with thinking about Jesus in those kind of terms is that Jesus never claimed to be any of those things. Instead, he said, "I'm the Son of Man. I'm God's superhero king, come to rule this world with all of God's authority and power." And I think it's only when we get this about Jesus, that he's God's superhero king, not just another religious teacher, that everything else about Jesus starts to make sense. And in particular, it's when we get this about Jesus, who he claimed to be, that we'll see why what he says next is so completely astounding. Let's have a look back again at Mark 10, 45. So Jesus says, "Even the Son of Man, even God's superhero king, didn't come to be served, but to serve." Jesus says, even though he's God's long-promised superhero king, he didn't come so we could all do stuff for him. He came to do something for us. And we saw a bit of this on Thursday, on the second day of the Hero Academy. Let's try this again, see if anyone remembers anything slightly more from Thursday. Do you remember Jesus? He went to a house, and so many people came to see him there. It was completely packed. No one else could fit in the house. And there were these guys who came, weren't there? And they were desperate to see Jesus. And they were so desperate that they climbed up on the roof with their friend that they'd brought with them, who couldn't walk. They climbed up on the roof, and they tore the roof apart, and they tore a hole in the roof, and they put their friend through this hole in the roof, lowered him down in front of Jesus. And here's the test. Who can remember what Jesus did next? Can anyone remember what Jesus did next? Any hands anywhere? I can run to you with a microphone. Anyone at all? There's one at the back here. And I'm going to run up there with this microphone and find out if we get the right answer. We better do it if I'm coming all the way up here.
Because Jesus is magic and He just made him better.
Yeah, exactly. He made him better. Thanks, Tom. But does anyone remember what he did just before he made him better? Thanks, Tom. That is the right answer. He did make him better. What did he do just before he made him better? Anyone remember that? Here we go.
Son, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Well done. He made him better so he could walk again. But just before he did that, he said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus came not to be served, but to serve us. This takes some getting used to, I think, because this just isn't the way the world usually works when an important person shows up. So a couple of years ago, I managed to get myself an invitation to a garden party at Buckingham Palace. You know, the kind of thing where you get to go and meet some of the royal family and kind of drink their tea and eat their cakes in their back garden. And if I ever mention this to people in conversation, it sometimes comes up, and people often say, "Wow, that must have been amazing. That must have been so exciting. What was it like?" And you know, the answer is, It was one of the most tediously boring afternoons of that entire summer. So I stood at the end of this queue, the end of the line, it was about 3 miles long, in my smartest, hottest, most uncomfortable clothes, in the baking hot sun. And then about 2 hours later, and just kind of on the horizon, I could see these kind of specks working their way down really slowly, chatting to everyone very slowly. And about 2 hours later, by the time they'd kind of got down to my end of the queue where I was, I think they'd kind of understandably got quite hot and tired and bored and decided to kind of speed up quite a lot. And when they got to me, they kind of just shot by with a wave. And that was the end of my kind of brief encounter with the royal family. And... But that's sadly often what it's like, isn't it, when someone important shows up. We kind of hang around, we have to wait for them, and we have to be where they want to be, and we have to wait till they want to show up, and mostly it's just very boring. Or else maybe it's a bit like with Captain Adrenaline. You'll know this week, if you're at the Hero Academy this week, we had to work hard with Captain Adrenaline, didn't we? And if we didn't work well enough, well, he was going to be displeased with us, and we had to do better. And it was just hard work. We had to keep up, and we had to be good enough. And I think that's the way a lot of people think following Jesus is going to be. Maybe it's what you've always thought being a Christian is. Either it's just very boring, or it's just hard work. And if you don't keep up, and you're not good enough, God is going to be disappointed. But look at this verse again. Look at Mark 10:45 again. Do you see that's not what Jesus said following him is about at all? Jesus says following him isn't about what we do for him, like going to church or giving to charity or being nice to people. Those may all be good things to do. But Jesus says following him is first and foremost about receiving what he came to do for us. Not the other way around. And what is that? Well, remember the paralyzed man? He came to see Jesus because he wanted to be made well. He wanted to walk. And Jesus did that for him. But he did much more than just heal him, didn't he? Jesus rescued the man from not being able to walk. But he did that to show that he was able to rescue him from something else, from sin too. And so lastly, we saw this week, and this verse, Mark 10:45, shows us that what Jesus came to do for us is rescue us. Jesus came to rescue us. So look back again one last time at this verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the Bible says we may not realize it, but every one of us is in terrible danger. We're in terrible danger because of something called sin. There's a lot of funny ideas around about what sin is. So I wonder if I've got a couple of volunteers pre-prepped who are going to help me to demonstrate something like what I think the Bible says sin is. So Bart and Tabby, do you want to come out the front? And you're going to help me out with this. Okay, so if you guys want to stand just here. So Tabby, you stand just here. And the Bible says that all of us were made by God. So Tabby, for the purpose of this demonstration, you're God, so you get to wear the crown. And the Bible says that God made all of us to be friends with him. And so Bart, for the purpose of this demonstration, you're all of us. Okay, so you stand here and you look at your sister and your friends. There we go. And the Bible says God made all of us to be friends with him. And that's great because God is brilliant and being friends with him is the best thing ever. But the bad news is, the Bible says none of us have ever done that. In fact, the Bible says none of us have done what would really be being friends with God. That would mean listening to him and doing what he says and living God's way because he's God and he knows what's best for us. And the Bible says actually all of us have gone our own way and we've turned our backs on God. And the Bible says actually we've just walked out on God. You want to come over here, Bart? Walk over here. And the Bible says, actually, we've taken God's place in this world. And no longer is God the king of our lives and our world, but we are. And the Bible says that's what sin is. Not necessarily just the bad things we do, like lying or stealing or eating too much ice cream. It's this attitude of walking out on God, turning our backs on him. And so sin is a big problem because when things are like this, we can't be friends with God anymore, the thing we were made to be. And the Bible says this is something we've all done. Every one of us, we've all done it, and we all keep doing it, and we all can't stop doing it. It's got us trapped. We're trapped, we're stuck, and we can't free ourselves from it. Thanks, Tabby. And so the Bible says if there is a God who is good and who does justice and upholds justice in the world, then he can't just ignore that sin. It's got to be punished. And so do you see our problem? We're stuck, trapped. We can't help ourselves, and there's no way out. Until onto the scene steps Jesus. And Jesus says, I've come to free you from this. I've come to pay the ransom, to rescue you out of this trap. Let's try this one last time. Who remembers on the last day of the Hero Academy, fresh in everyone's memory, who remembers on the last day of the Hero Academy what we saw happen to Jesus? We watched a DVD of this. We didn't see this acted out. Who remembers? Who can shout out what we saw happen to Jesus on the last day, right at the end of Mark's account of Jesus' life? Anyone just shout out? No one likes shouting out, do they? But Rosie's shaking her head, so I'm going to come over here.
He died on the cross for us.
Exactly. Thanks, Rosie. Thank you. We saw on the last day Jesus died. And we saw that even though at first it looked like a complete disaster, it looked completely out of God's control, it looked like God's plan for his superhero king had gone completely wrong, we saw that wasn't the case. In fact, we saw that Jesus' death was actually his big rescue. And our verse here, Mark 10:45, says Jesus' death was no accident. It wasn't God's plan for his superhero king gone completely wrong. It was, in fact, exactly why Jesus came. He came to die, to give up his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the one and only man who's ever lived, who hasn't been trapped by sin, offered himself to die, to be punished for our sin instead of us, so that we could be freed, ransomed, rescued from our separation from God, and free to be friends with God again. And so ultimately, I suppose this week at the Hero Academy, we learned that Jesus says to us as superhero trainees, when it comes to God, don't try and be the hero yourself. Don't try and get yourself to God, get right with God by serving me. Don't think going to church and singing the right songs is going to do it. It won't be enough. It won't work. What you need is rescue. The rescue I've already won for you by my death on the cross for you. And that means that all there is for you and me to do is just cling on to him. Just hang on for all you're worth to Jesus and let him do what he came to do. Let him rescue you. I'm going to pray now for God's help for us as we try and do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus not to reward us for doing well, but to rescue us because we are trapped. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us just to cling on to Jesus, hang on to him for all our worth, and be rescued by him. And we pray that in his name, amen.